All right. Well, what y'all want to give away tonight? What y'all been working with a little bit here and there? Something that just ministered to you, blessed you, encouraged you. What you ladies working on in your Sunday school coming up? How y'all doing that? Because I know y'all finished up with a book, right? Carolyn don't have a book. You like them books, huh, Carolyn?
I know you do.
Right now, you just got to know you got that book, got your Bible, right? Yeah, so what y'all working on? Anything? Doing what you're reading? I got you. Good, good. Well, anybody have anything? We're up to what, chapter 7 in our reading in Luke. It could be anywhere you've been. There's been a lot that has gone on in these brief 7 chapters, right? And we learning from the master. We wanna be like him. And there's some things in here he teaches that we see taught through the Sermon on the Mount over in Matthew's gospel that are just, when you look at them, you throw your hands up and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. You know, that's the whole point of it. No matter how you look at it, though, this is still the standard. God doesn't lower his standard. God's standard is always the standard that he has. We're just grateful for his grace that one was able to fulfill those standards for us on our behalf that we couldn't. And when we want to be like him, that's the thing. That's where we don't want to just throw it away and say, well, I can't do it and I'm not going to try. No, we throw it up and say, Lord, I need you to do this in me. I need you to do this through me. I need you to do this with me. I want to be able to love like you love. I want to be able to forgive like you forgive. I want to bless like you bless. I want to be like you. And that is the whole message of the idea when you see in like chapter 6 about building on the sinking sand or the rock. What are we going to build our life upon? Either the Lord and his ways, or we're building on that sinking sand, but it's going to be tested. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be tested on what we have built on, what kind of foundation that we built on. So anything that just, when you read it, was like, man, you know, we've read these, I told y'all Sunday, we've read through the Gospels chapter by chapter, each Gospel, an accumulated times, 36 times, we've been in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 36 different times have we walked through each of these books, one chapter at a time. So when you start accumulating that, and you think about these chapters, for an example, like Mark's got 24 chapters in it. Luke's got 24 chapters, Mark's got 16, Matthew's got 28, and John has what, 22 chapters in it. So when you start multiplying those by chapters, and then you start looking at these by verses, and you've done this 36 different times through the years, these things add up. That's a lot of truth that we've been planted in us, and we don't want that to be lost time. What I mean is we want to glean every time we walk through it. And as familiar as these passages become to us, we don't want to let familiarity with them put us in a position that we overlook the message of it. Because that's what happened with those that were too familiar with Jesus. They missed it. They missed it. Well, isn't this the carpenter's son? You know, we know him. We watched him grow up, and they just was too familiar with him. And they became so familiar, they missed what he was doing. They missed the whole point of it, missed who he was. And we have to be cautious with that when we do read the way we do. As many times as we've done walking through these truths, you want to ask the Lord to show you something fresh in it. Nothing new, You know, these things meant what they meant, and they mean what they mean today as they did when he wrote it. So there's nothing new that we're going to find, but we can find things that are fresh. Now, it may be new to me, but it's not new to the kingdom. It's not new to God. It's not new to God's people. We want to see fresh things for us as we walk through it again and again. Amen? So anything. We can go back to, anywhere in it. From chapter, we was in chapter 3 a little bit in the first part on Sunday. But from chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, a lot of good truths, a lot of neat things to glean.
Well, section in chapter 6 about loving your enemies.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, man.
In verse 35, my translation says, "Love your enemies, do good to them."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, 35, and this says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping or expecting for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." See, that's where you say, "God, I need you. I can't do that in my own natural self. I'm not wired in my fallen nature to do that. My fallenness wants to preserve self, wants to protect self, wants to defend self, wants to defend my own pride. And I want to represent the humanity without you, but I want to be identified as a son of God." And remember, you're not a son of God by what you do. You're identified as a son of God by what you do, but you must be born again to be a son of God. Are you with me? That's important. It's not, you don't do these things to become a son or a daughter or child of God. No, you're born into the kingdom to be identified with him. So he's saying when you act this way, people will be able to recognize you as a son of God when you do these things, when you love the enemy, when you do good and lend and bless. Those things are identifiable markers of a child of God. Because remember, these are kingdom standards. And they're apply to everybody in the kingdom. And Jesus is the one who fulfills them. And in him, they are fulfilled in our lives. But what we are in him, we want to become. We want people to know us as a child of God. And that's how they're going to know us, not by the things we say. And then he tells us, he's already told them, for an example, look in verse number, let's see. Let's just read verse 27 of chapter 6. "But I say to you who hear," and that's the key, "who hear," who have an ability to hear. Not everybody has an ear to hear. Only those that belong to him have the ear to hear. Well, don't. That's right. They don't want to identify with him. Therefore, they're not going to follow him. He goes on to say, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." He's going to reiterate all these things. "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you." This is a radical difference than the norm of humanity. "To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. Meaning you don't respond to them how they respond to you. You respond to them no matter how they respond to you, how you would want them to respond back to you. So he says, verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Is there any credit in loving those that love you?
That's an easy thing to do.
Right. It doesn't take a supernatural ability to do that. For even sinners love those that love them. That takes nothing supernatural. Verse 33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. There's nothing radical or different about that. Verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive at least as much back. And now we pick up where Stephanie brought to light. You, on the other hand, love your enemies, do good to them, lend everything we just looked at that you do with no... to those that are the undeserving of those things, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be, just keep that in mind, identified as children or sons of the Most High. For God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. You will be acting like your Heavenly Father when you do those things. But loving those that love you, anybody can do that. Blessing those that bless them, anybody can do that. Yeah. Being good to those that are good to them, anybody can do that. Lending to get something back, anybody can do that. But when you're doing it for the Lord, for your Father's sake, because that's how your Father does things, now you're doing it for not a selfish motive. You're doing it to glorify him and bless those who are undeserving, just like he's blessed us when we were undeserving and what he's done for us. He says, verse 36, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Now, we also know that anytime God loved people, blessed people, showed mercy to people, it always had his wisdom in it. It always had his understanding and discernment with it. God sees the whole scope of things. God knows the circumstances of the person behind it, why they do what they do, why they are the way they are, why they think the way they think, the things that they do. He sees all that. We don't have that kind of perception without hearing and knowing the wisdom and the discernment and the understanding and the guidance of the Lord. And because God's given us that insight and those wisdoms, those discernment, we can do things in a supernatural way with his guidance that we could never do in a natural realm. And that's what makes us different. That's what brings light to him in it. I mentioned Sunday and I mentioned last to the men, but I mentioned last Wednesday night, five things that are going to separate us from everybody else in the world. Everybody. Five things that will separate us. And this is how these things come to light. Number one, what's going to make us different is God's got to reveal things to us. We got to have light, revelation from God. What made Noah different from everybody else? God revealed something to him. God showed light to him. What made Abraham different from everybody else? God revealed something to him. He showed him something. And see, this is what God's doing for those that what? If you can hear, remember, hearing is seeing in the kingdom. And when you hear, God imparts revelation to you. He gives you light on a matter. He gives you light. God's got to reveal this to us. We can't do this apart from God revealing something to us. So whether it be forgiveness or loving or blessing or dealing with bitterness, any of those things, God's got to reveal what's happening in this circumstance right now. God's got to reveal it. Because the natural man can do what natural man does. He can love people without God's revelation. He can be good to people without God's revelation. Now, his good has no value to it, but he's still good. Remember when he said, you being evil, but you still know how to give good gifts to your children? Your heart's still messed up, but you still know how to, if your kid wants bread, you don't give him a snake. You give him what he needs, bread. Well, that's a good thing, but you, even though your heart is still polluted, you still can do good things, but it still has no eternal value to it. So God's got to reveal it to us. What's the second thing? Well, whatever is hindering that, God's grace has to remove it. It takes the grace of God, the favor of God. See, Christ is the one who fulfills this perfectly. Everything you just read, we just read, Christ is the fulfillment of that. That is not, we are not required to fulfill that to be rightly related to God. Christ fulfilled this on our behalf. Now, because he has fulfilled it. Now, his grace has removed the barriers of pride in our life and in the flesh, so that now we can submit ourselves to the Lord because we got light from him. Now we can love like he loves because he's shown us. We've heard from him. And not only that, he's demonstrated in his grace, his great love for us. And he's shown us his favor and brought peace into our life so that we can be right with God now operating from that perspective. So, if it's a issue with forgiveness, there's an issue that you've offended or transgressed against somebody, God's got to reveal it. Whatever that problem is, grace is the one's got to remove it. But remember, God never takes us from something without putting us in something. He never delivers us from the hand of the enemy without delivering us to his service. So when grace is at work, the next thing we see, God's goodness is what replaces it. Whatever the issue was, whatever the problem was, okay, I wasn't loving my enemy. Well, God showed light that I need to love my enemy. While I wasn't loving my enemy, grace stepped in and removed that barrier. Now God's goodness is going to replace that. Now I can show kindness and goodness to somebody. Like if you got bitterness in your heart towards someone, God's got to reveal it. Grace has got to remove it. And then the goodness of God's got to replace it in your life. Whether it be forgiveness or love or whatever it is, these are the things that's going to make us different. Noah found what? Grace and the eyes of the Lord. Now, God changing the man with his goodness, the scripture says that Noah was righteous in his generation. And Noah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord because God gave him light. God's grace removed that. Noah was as much of a sinner as everybody else was, but grace was involved. Grace was involved. Abraham, what was he? A Gentile serving other gods. God revealed light, called him. Grace removed that. Now God's goodness replaces it. Same way with you and me. What's the fourth thing that we have to see? God's guidance is what continually renews us from day to day. God is the one who guides us. He guides us in these things. The scripture says that God told Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his household. And then the scripture says Noah did everything God commanded him to do. Gave him the dimensions of it. God guided him in it. God guided him in what to do. God guided him in the message that he was to preach. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he built that ark because he was moved by fear. And faith, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Remember, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's going to guide us. What is he doing? What is Jesus doing right now to his disciples? He's guiding them. You want to be different. You want to be identified as the Father's sons. And how that's going to happen, you can't live like everybody else lives. So therefore, God says that you're to love your enemy. You're to be kind to them that are, as he described it, look, in verse 36, therefore be merciful and just as your Father is also merciful and just. Verse 35 says, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Well, everything that he just gave them, he gave them what? Guidance on how to do it. How to do it. So God's going to do that. And that guidance is what's going to continue to renew us. That's what's that renewing of the mind. Remember how Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, we present our bodies to the Lord as living sacrifices. We're not to be conformed to this world. We don't act like, let this world squeeze us out. But we're to be renewed. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. So the guidance of the Lord is what's going to continue to renew us. That application of what God gives us, we put it to work. James says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but a what?
A doer
of the word. A doer of the word. So God's guidance is what's going to continually renew us. The fifth thing is the spirit of gratitude or grateful heart is what's going to continually refresh us from day to day. It's going to be the one that refreshes us, that fresh work of praise. That's where we then magnify the Lord. We glorify him that his work is working through us. And it's that grateful heart, that gratitude that is going to continue to refresh us because we're being renewed and we are what? God's goodness has replaced the wrong in our life because grace is God's goodness is the ones has replaced that fallacy and that false idea of the untruths because grace has removed the barrier that kept me from the Lord because of God's revealing light to me from day to day. So it's those five things in every aspect of our life that's going to make us unique and different. God's got to reveal things. I need to be hearing from him. Light. Grace is removing the untruths in my life from day to day. You know, that's what growing in grace is all about, right? I used to think one way, but God's truth came in, shed light on it. I agree with the Lord. And because of his grace, I'm acceptable unto him. And his grace removes teaching me to say no to me and say yes to the Lord. I didn't have to fix it. His grace is the one who removes it out of my life because I'm simply trusting the light that he gave me. And now God's goodness is replacing that in my life. His character is coming into my life to show me how he works. And now he's going to guide me. And that guidance is going to keep renewing me to do what his will is. And then I am grateful. And that gratitude is just going to continue to refresh me. That I can sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to Miss Pat and have a good spirit in my life because I'm being refreshed by the Lord. Why? Because I know God's renewing me day by day and showing me what to walk in. His goodness is giving me a kind heart and a gentle spirit and he's replacing that in my life. And anything that I may have mistreated and done the wrong way, God's grace removes that because I've got light from him. He's revealing light to me from day to day. And boy, that makes us all different. No matter what area we're working in, we need to hear from the Lord. We need his grace to operate in. We need his goodness applied into our character. We need his guidance to know how to take the next step, his wisdom in doing that. And man, I need to be grateful for the whole process. And boy, that makes me a winsome person to be able to help other people who still need light, who still need his grace, who still need his goodness, and who still need his guidance in everyday life. Because that's just how God works. Amen. That's just what he does. So we see that, and this is what he's helping these disciples with, because he continues when you look over, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew's gospel, as he would say here, Matthew said, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you," this is how you've been taught these things in days gone by, and they misinterpreted what God meant. Well, I'm shedding light on that. Because of my grace, it can be removed of what you used to walk in. Now I'm bestowing my good character upon you in my mercy. Now I'm going to guide you in wisdom on how to take the next step. And now you can be grateful to be identified as a son of God and walking with me. Amen? Amen. So those five things have to be going on in our life if we're going to be any different from anybody else in this world. If they're not going on in our life, we're going to wind up not identifying with Jesus, but identifying with the world. So those five, if we just remember that, we'll just remember those five things. I need light from the Lord. I need to operate in his grace and the sufficiency of it. And it is sufficient. Amen. His great. Remember when Paul was praying for God to remove that thorn in the flesh? What did God tell him? That I'm not removing it. My grace is what? Sufficient for you to bear it. To bear it. I'm using it to make you of a better character, Paul. My goodness is at work in you. And I'm going to guide you through this. And I'll keep renewing you in it. And Paul found himself, what? Grateful for the thorn. Even though he didn't want it, even though he asked God to remove it, now he's thanking God for what he wanted fixed. But God said, I'm not going to fix it. But Paul, I'm going to fix you. And Paul was grateful because it made him of a meek and humble spirit. Because God told him that if he didn't do it, Paul would be elevated with what? Pride. Why? Because Paul was hearing things and seeing things that most people had never heard or seen. So he could be elevated with pride, but God knew what he needed. And now we see him at work, what? As a grateful man for what he had. And he's refreshed in the midst of the trouble. He's refreshed because he's being renewed, because God is replacing those things that he didn't want anything to do with. And his grace is the one removing that spirit in him that wanted it out of his life, because God shed light on it, why he was doing what he was doing. And it blessed the man. Now his testimony does what? Bless us today and so many others. So just think about that. Think about those things in everyday life. We need those actively at work in us, hearing from him, walking with him, trusting him, and his wisdom bringing us through. So can't help but give him the praise for it. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, look, anybody have anything else? We'll wrap it up.
God's so good.
He is good. He is good. We sure enough need light. Amen. Remember what that old, when that guy invited him into his house, that Pharisee, and that woman came in and anointed his feet. What did that, man, if he knew who she was. Okay, you see, that's a man that didn't have light. Are you with me? If he knew who Jesus was, he would have known Jesus knew who the woman was. And he would have been at his feet.
Yeah.
But you see, he questioned if he's really a prophet. See, that's how the enemy works, though. The enemy always going to question the essence of who Jesus is, the exactness of what he said, and the enjoyment of what delights the heart of God. And that's what the enemy was doing through this Pharisee. He was questioning his essence. If he is who he says he is, he would have known. Well, he did know. But what he had done for that woman, he forgave her. And remember, Jesus said, look, he taught him, he said, if a man had a big debt and he was delivered from that debt, forgiven of that debt, and another man had a little debt and he was forgiven, which one would love more? He said, the man that had the bigger debt. He said, likewise. He who has been forgiven of much loves much. And it's a testament of her love. Amen?
Amen.
So, even though it was a man, we know who was behind the questioning, huh? It was the enemy. And that's what he's going to do, or attempt to do, with each of us as well. He wants us to question the essence of who Jesus is in our life. That's why we need light. Amen? The enemy works in darkness. Jesus works in the light. We need his light. Anybody else before we go tonight?
Oh my God. Oh, I keep praying.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you and give you glory. We pray you help us with these things, that we'll glean and continue to pick up on wondrous truths as we walk through this message of this revelation that you gave to Luke to write down, that we would have a record of the things you've done and said and the people you touched and the way that you walked and the principles that you taught, so that we could know you more intimately and then go out and be those difference makers in this world we live in. So thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.
I'll see you soon.
Lord willing. Lord willing, Carolyn. Yeah, God. That's a big word, ain't it? Look, Stephen said, did you have a G word? She picked up on I was using G's and R's, right? Y'all got that? That's preacher talk. That's to help you remember it. That's how I remember it. God's got to reveal it. Grace removes it. Goodness replaces it. Guidance renews. And then gratitude or a grateful heart refreshes. See the G's and R's? Yeah, well, he is in all of them. If God ain't in it, it ain't worth nothing, right?
You know what I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, God's got to reveal it. Amen.